Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
November 21st, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, extreme lenses. That's right, I'm going to talk about a couple of lenses today, two to be exact, and I guess that's what a couple would be, right? And both of them come out of, both of these stories come out of conversations that I've had with two different photographers over the last few weeks. And it was very interesting. One lens is on the wide angle side, and it's a Nikon 10 millimeter lens. And the other lens is on the long side, and it's a Canon 400 millimeter lens. And the conversations that I had with two different photographers about these lenses really got me thinking about, wow, these are really, albeit not cheap, exciting ways to shake up our photography. And we were also talking about some of the ways that you can shake up your images using glass on the extreme ends of the spectrum. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. I got a couple good stories to go with them, and hopefully it'll get you thinking a little bit more about the assignments that you're doing now and maybe different ways that you could tackle those subjects. I also want to thank our good folks over at Photo Magico, the sponsors of the Digital Story, and you can read more about them at www.photomagico.com, and that's F-O-T-O-M-A-G-I-C-O. Probably the best slideshow software on the market and definitely the best for the Mac. And also our newest sponsor, ExpoDisc, for great color balance, absolutely fabulous pictures with the ExpoDisc, and you can find out more about them at www.expodisc.com, and that's D-I-S-C. Great sponsors. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Okay, let's get into lenses. I think the first lens I want to talk about today is our Nikon. This is the Nikon AF DX Fisheye Nikkor 10.5 millimeter f2.8G ED. And this is a short little lens. It's a fixed focal length lens. It's fixed at 10.5 millimeters. Now, it's very interesting how this lens came onto my radar. I was hanging out in Guatemala with my photographer friend Ben Long, and Ben was testing the new Nikon D80 SLR body, which, by the way, I have to tell you, is a fabulous body. It's just Nikon really got things together for the D80, and we were both pretty impressed with it. And he had a couple lenses, and one of the lenses that he had with it was this 10 millimeter fisheye. Now, what's interesting about this lens is that even though it's a fisheye, the distortion on it's very well controlled. And this lens, I tell you, you have the super wide view, which is fabulous, but it doesn't have a lot of the crazy distortion like we used to get in the old days. And in fact, Ben was telling me that if you use the Nikon software, then you can even correct what distortion is there in post-production with the Nikon software. And really, you get the super wide view without the crazy distortion or any distortion at all. And we were just kind of pretty amazed. And so you would look through this lens, and it was like the whole world was before you. And it was really fabulous. So one of the stories that go with this lens is we were walking back to the ship. We had been on a cruise, and we had stopped in Guatemala for the day and had done our shooting and everything. And we were walking back, and we had to walk along this really long pier to get to the ship. And so we were just sort of taking pictures along the way. We still had a few minutes, and we weren't really that anxious to get back on the ship. It was fun, you know, being out and about and shooting. And so Ben put the 10 millimeter back on the Nikon and was just kind of looking around for some shots. There was some pretty interesting stuff, and I was walking alongside of him. We were walking shoulder to shoulder along this pier on the way out to the ship. And at one point, Ben goes, "Hey, could you stand back a little bit? You're getting in my shot." And, I mean, and this is just so outrageous. I mean, I was walking right alongside of Ben, and I was getting in his shots as he was framing them up. It was really funny. So at one point, I just sort of reached around there, you know, standing still side by side, and just, you know, kind of made a face at him and waved, and he took the picture, of course. And that'll be the sample shot that I put on the site to go with this lens. But what's amazing, when you look at this picture, you'll notice or keep in mind that I'm standing almost, you know, to his shoulder when he took this shot. And that's how wide this lens is. I went to the site, to the Nikon site afterwards, because I was curious. I wanted to see the specs on this thing. And I'll put the link also to the Nikon page in the show notes along with the picture. And sure enough, this lens has a picture angle of 180 degrees. 180 degrees. That means it basically takes pictures shoulder to shoulder. Now, that is really something. And again, I have to say that the distortion on that was, it didn't bother me at all. And what little is there, you can correct with the Nikon software. Just so you know, if you're wondering a little bit more about the lens, it has 10 elements in 7 groups. So it's got quite a bit going on there. The minimum f-stop is f22, and maximum is f2.8. It's a very compact and light lens. I think it only weighs 305 grams, so that's not bad at all. And to feel it on the camera, and especially on a camera, you know, like the D80, that isn't a super heavy camera anyway, it just feels, you know, really, really super. And, you know, so the thinking about this lens is, when you're shooting things such as events or landscapes or anything like that, it allows you to get really close to some foreground subject. And then if you have this great, you know, scenery around it, or if you're in a closed environment where you want to get all of the information, like if you're, let's say, you know, in a reception hall or something, and the bride and groom are dancing, but everyone is like circled around them. Let's say it's the first dance and everyone is circled around them, and you have decent lighting in there, and you really want to convey the impact, the feel of the moment, instead of just this isolated shot of the bride and groom, which is a good shot to do too, but that's a different shot. But let's say you wanted to change your approach. Let's say you shoot the same shot all the time. Bride and groom dancing, you know, relatively close up, capture the emotion. But how about the emotion of the other people in the room? And how about the collective emotion that's happening at that moment? So, for instance, this 10mm lens would allow you, while this is happening, to get up, you know, fairly close to them. You capture their emotion, but yet you have half the people in the, or maybe all the people in the room, if they're gathered around at 180 degrees instead of 360, you have all the people standing around them, and you can capture their expressions too. You could even take this farther. What if you, as they were dancing, you were taking shots and you were sort of moving around with them so that you were capturing different angles as this was happening? You know, in your mind's eye right now, you can probably see some pretty exciting shots, shots that you could not do with a 28mm lens, but with a 10mm lens, this whole world opens up to you, and there are new possibilities for photographs that you just couldn't make before. Now, I should mention that this lens runs right around close to $600. Not a cheap lens. And whenever we're talking about stuff like this, extreme lenses, there is a price tag attached to it. But then again, if you have a use for it, and if you will use it, then suddenly, well, will you get that $600 back? Either in a creativity or in actual dollars, because people look at your shots and they go, you know what? Your shots look different than everyone else's. I think I want to hire you. So, you know, you're always kind of weighing these sort of things back and forth. And of course, any photographer wants as much glass as he or she can get their hands on. It's a matter of picking the right glass for you. Okay, now let's travel to the other end of the spectrum. That was my wide-angle, 180-degree story. So now I'm going to go to the telephoto end of things. So this last week, I was down in Ojai, California. Beautiful Ojai, California. And the reason why I was down there is because that's where the studios for Lynda.com are located. And it's L-Y-N-D-A FDA, lynda.com. Now, if you're not familiar with lynda.com, they are folks that do online training, and they have titles on just about every piece of software in the universe, and definitely just about every piece of Mac software in the universe, but they have tons of Windows titles too. And so it's a great resource for people who want to get up to speed quickly with any given piece of software. Let's say that suddenly you have to start using Adobe InDesign on your job, and you go, oh my gosh, I've never used InDesign before. You can go to lynda.com, spend a couple hours watching their training videos, go to work the next day, and the next thing you know, you're doing pretty darn good with InDesign. It's really that kind of outfit. So I was down there with a fellow photographer, Scott Bourne, and Scott in his day, I think, specialized really in two areas. He is an absolutely great bird photographer. This guy has a library of bird shots that will just, you know, knock your feathers off. Really amazing. And then the other thing that Scott has done really well over the years is with weddings. He's a fabulous wedding photographer also. It's interesting that birds and weddings, I guess, you know, those two different types of photography help keep each other fresh. So anyway, so Scott and I were down there recording an aperture title, a Beyond the Basics title that covers some of the new stuff in 1.5 and then kind of drilled down into some exciting stuff in the application. By the way, that training will be available before Christmas, so if you're an Aperture user, you might want to check that out. And I'll also post information about it on the Digital Story. So we were driving back from Ojai, which is down in Southern California, back up to Northern California. And so we were just talking photography on the way back. It's a pretty long drive, about 8 hours. And so we were talking about all sorts of photography stuff. And Scott started talking about bird photography, which I'm really interested in, and mainly because we were seeing all these great hawks and peregrines and stuff that were off to the side of the road. We were driving up Interstate 5 right up through the heartland of California, and it's just big open spaces, farming and open spaces, and there were all sorts of hawks and stuff out, and Scott has a really good eye for those from all his years of bird photography, and he was pointing them out to me and telling me what types of hawks they were. It was a lot of fun. And I said, you know, I have always really wanted to get into wildlife photography and, you know, in a way that with a little bit longer lens, because the longest lens that I have right now is a 300 millimeter lens, which is a really nice lens. I like it. But for bird photography and stuff, it's just a little short sometimes. And so we were talking about the different types of lenses, and Scott's used all the way up to a 600 millimeter lens, which is very nice, but it's also very big and very expensive and a little bit more than I was thinking about spending. So I said, well, what about something that isn't quite 600 millimeters and is a really good glass and it does a great job of dropping out the backgrounds, what we call the bokeh effect, which is where, you know, you have this pinpoint sharpness on the subject itself, and then the background just kind of goes into a blur. That's the bokeh effect. And, you know, I also want to use it for things like weddings and portraits and wildlife photography. So what he suggested to me was the Canon 400 millimeter f/5.6 lens. It's a USM lens. A lens that's actually been out for a while, but he says this lens is the favorite of so many photographers that he knows. This lens is really well made. It doesn't have image stabilizer, which also means it doesn't have image stabilizer to go wrong or to have to be recalibrated. It's a 400 millimeter maximum apertures, as I said earlier, f/5.6. It has seven elements. Check this out. Now, the angle of view on this lens is 6 degrees. 6 degrees compared to 180 degrees on that Nikon 10 millimeter lens. So 6 degrees. And Scott said that he uses this lens a lot, actually, and that you can drop the background out on this lens as quickly as 6 feet. So you can just turn the background into nothing 6 feet and beyond behind the subject, which is an effect that I really want, especially when I'm shooting portraits in places where I have a really, you know, kind of busy background that I can't avoid. It has the front element 77 millimeter, so it's got a pretty good size front element, and you know, you'll need, if you use a polarizer or something, something that can cover that space there. So this was really exciting, and the lens runs about $1,000 brand new, but since it's been around for a while, you can probably get it pretty affordably. Or if you can get it from someone who bought it new and was selling it, that's always a great way to go too. You can save yourself a few hundred dollars or more. So I was getting really excited about this, and he says, well, you know what you ought to do? He says, what you ought to do is go to a camera store and rent it for a day, because it's such a popular lens that professional level camera stores that carry these sort of things almost always have this lens. Go rent it for a day or for a weekend. It costs you $40 or so, and go shoot with it, and then see if you like it or not. And if you fall in love with it, then you can think about picking up a used one or a new one, but at least you will have had experience with it. And I thought, you know, that's a really great idea in general. You know, you just don't have to go right out and you know, buy something and thinking that I think I'm going to like this. You know, why not rent it, use it for a while, and then know that you're going to like it or not going to like it, and save yourself the trouble. So then Scott started telling me about some of the uses for this lens. Now, obviously, even with a 400 millimeter lens, I'm not going to be able to photograph a small bird that's way far away. That's still not that kind of reach. But he said for larger size birds that you can get halfway decent proximity to, not to mention all other types of animals, such as going and taking pictures of seals at a harbor and stuff like that, he says this lens will get you right in on them. And he says it's a beautiful lens in terms of how the diaphragm is for the aperture. So you get a very nice, smooth background when it drops out. He says it's really rugged. And every photographer that he knows has never had a problem with it. You know, it can take a little bit of abuse, you know, bouncing around in the back seat kind of stuff. You don't have to baby it like you might have to with some other lenses, especially lenses that have image stabilizers on them. And it just has become the workhorse of, you know, the wildlife photographer world. Then he started talking about using it for weddings, and he was telling me about some bridal shots that he had done with this lens. And of course, you know, there are two big advantages to using a long lens for this type of shooting. One is, of course, as I mentioned earlier, you can drop out the background. So if you don't have the luxury of getting the subject somewhere where there's a nice, non-intrusive background, you can use this long lens and you can drop out anything, really just about anything that's, you know, 8 or 10 feet behind the subject is gone. It just, you know, blurs out. So, you know, that's a really big advantage. And, you know, that's why, for instance, portrait photographers that, let's say, work in New York City or somewhere where it's always sort of busy in the background, that's why they love these long 400 and 600 millimeter lens for portraiture, because they can drop out any background and shoot portraits anywhere they want. Now, when you start thinking about this, especially as a working pro or as a part-time pro, where you have to get the shot and you don't always have a lot to say about where you take it, this becomes a pretty big deal. Now, the other thing about it, too, is that a long lens like this is very flattering, and I think it's particularly flattering for women because of the compression that it brings to the image. And compression usually is a nice thing for portraiture. If someone, for instance, has a larger nose or something like that, you know, the compression seems to have a very flattering effect and renders people, I think, you know, more attractively more often than not. So you have that combined with dropping out the background, and suddenly your images look a lot different than someone who's shooting, let's say, with just a regular 28-105 zoom lens. So I have to say, I got pretty excited about all of this, and so I'm actually going to make a date to go and rent one of these lenses, the 400 millimeter, and take it out for a day or for a weekend. And I want to do both model shooting, you know, portraiture, and do some wildlife at the same time. So this is going to be a real fun self-assignment, which brings me to something else that I wanted to say, which is, you know, renting a lens, a different lens, like one of these extreme lenses like I'm talking about, taking them out for a day, and, you know, planning your day beforehand, you can create some pretty interesting self-assignments for yourself. So you don't actually have to buy these lenses. If you do a little planning, say that I really want to shoot some portraiture and I want these shots to look different than what I normally do. So you plan the location, you line up your subjects, you find where you can rent the lens, and then you go do it. And you can come back from that and come away with these shots that I think you'll probably more often than not really like. And you can show these shots to other people. And if someone says, you know, I want to hire you to take these kinds of shots, then you always have the option again of either renting the lens again and going that way, or if it looks like it's going to become a line of work that you're going to get fairly regularly, then you can justify buying some glass like this. So a little creativity, not only in taking the pictures, but in planning the pictures and thinking about how to spice up your photography, a little creativity can go a long ways in this stuff. So anyway, thanks to Scott for that. I really enjoyed the conversation, and I have two new lenses now on my radar, both the 400mm Canon, the f5.6, and that 10mm Nikon. And I really do want to get my hands on, because I want to spice up my photography a little bit too. You know, this is one of the reasons why I like hanging out with other photographers, and this is one of the reasons why I like bringing my conversations that I have with these other photographers to you, because in a sense, you're hanging out with them also. And all of these things help us become, you know, not only better technicians, but better artists and come away with better shots. And as I said at the top of the show, really, that's what it's all about. Okay, just a couple virtual camera club items here that I want to take care of before I sign off for this week. I want to remind you that the photo assignment for this week is juxtaposition, and have good shots coming in. I think this is going to be a very fun assignment, and you know, I'm looking forward to you not only pulling things out of your existing collection that you may have, but maybe even going out and creating a juxtaposition. You know, going out and sort of like I was saying earlier with these lenses, you know, plan a shoot and see if you can make an idea happen and then send that in. So you have to have those in by the end of the month, juxtaposition. And if you have any questions about submitting your photo assignment for the digital story, go to www.thedigitalstory.com and hit the submissions button, and you'll see everything there, photo assignment and so forth. Grab shots, of course. Keep those coming. And then also, since we were talking about lenses today, I thought, wow, man, I should mention my favorite lens, which is another reader-submitted sort of thing we have going on. I've published a few in the past. I haven't published any for a while, but I thought, wow, you know, since we're talking about lenses and stuff, maybe this is a good opportunity to remind you that if you're using a lens that allows you to change your photography or really make the kind of shots that you want to make, and you just think it's the best chunk of glass in your camera bag, then write it up. Tell me a little bit about the lens. Give me the specs for it, of course. Send a picture that you took with it. And give me an anecdote, and maybe we will run it on the digital story and share that lens with other people. So since we're kind of in a lens sort of mode this week, I thought, well, my favorite lens, let's bring it back to life and see if anyone sends something in. Okay, I think that's about it for me. I hope that you found this conversation stimulating. I hope that I haven't put undue pressure on your Visa card. Remember, you can rent, you don't have to buy. And make sure that if you're married or involved in a partnership, that you get spousal approval if you're using the family credit card to go buy some expensive glass. You can always do what I did, which is just start a business specifically designed to pay for lenses. Either way, go out and take some pictures. Have a great time. I'll see you back here next week. Take care until then. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com.
For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.